their
primary care?
Okay.
That would come from that.
Okay. So our next speaker is Lisa.
Lisa Wong.
Wong, and she's a retired from 2007 from Community Health Center in Berkeley. She's a pediatrician, and she'll be talking about there's a crisis in family medicine.
Well, I wanted to talk about primary care and its relationship to single payer. I mean, what Hank was saying is that the primary care providers do support single payer, and there are reasons for that. The primary care provider is the first person that most of us see. It's our, what we pediatricians call, it's where our medical home is. And it's the person who knows us, knows about us, knows more than just our hearts or our kidneys. So the primary care provider is the family medicine specialist, the pediatrician, the general internist. And they're the ones that know all the things about us, which specialists would be most appropriate for the individual. And there are great problems in primary care right now. Primary care attempts to provide accessibility and continuity. And those are things which only they can provide, but it's really difficult to do it in the present climate of medical care. There aren't enough primary care providers. There are too many specialists. People end up going to specialists because they can't get into their primary care provider. The Massachusetts program that Ursula's going to talk about is an example where now that they've given insurance to an additional number of people, people can't get in to see a doctor because there aren't enough providers. And so why are there not enough primary care providers? There are a number of reasons. One is that they are inadequately reimbursed compared to surgical specialists. If I do a complete history and physical exam, decide, you know, what would be best for you in discussion with you, that's maybe $90. If I do your cataract in 15 minutes, it's $600. So that it's much harder to make a living, just make a living, doing primary care. The other problem is insurance. A lot of people do not have insurance that covers ordinary primary care. It might cover, you know, there are catastrophes, but it doesn't cover taking care of them. And we do know that it is more efficient to provide care through a family medicine provider or an internist. People with chronic illnesses do better. Health outcomes are better if you have a primary care provider than if you are followed just by a specialist. I think people don't realize that. So single payer will be designed to give everybody coverage, and then we're going to need to encourage the development of practice in family medicine, internal medicine, and general pediatrics. There's going to have to be a change in the culture of how medicine is provided. But a single-payer system, in that system, we'll be able to negotiate those things much more easily than we can with individual insurance companies right now. So there is a link between them, and I think that it is really important for us to realize that if to get the care we need the single-payer system, and we will need the primary care provider. Michael Pollan has been talking a lot about nutrition, and he says he has three rules for nutrition. Eat food, not too much, and mostly vegetables. And the recommendation for us is get health care, not too much, and mostly primary care. So I don't think I have much more to say about it right now.
Okay, that's perfect. Okay. Well, you want to go where Ursula? Want to go? Want to keep going? Kind of flows. So Ursula is a retired pediatrician from Children's Hospital, and I'm sure you've done a number of other things too. Right? And she'll be speaking on. Okay. We have somebody. Massachusetts. Right. It's being touted.
Okay. I've actually retired from Children's Hospital, but it was a great place to work. Why are we talking about Massachusetts? Because as probably you all remember, in 2006 with much fanfare, the Commonwealth of Massachusetts unveiled its new health care reform plan that was going to make it that there will be no more uninsured and everyone will have a minimum amount of health care coverage. So we want to look at briefly what they did and what happened to it. And the reason we want to look at it is because, as Richard mentioned, many other health reform plans, both in other states, including the one that Nunez and Schwarzenegger tried to pass here in California, as well as some national plans, including the Obama plan and the Hacker Healthcare for America plan, are all somewhat based on the Massachusetts model, although I have to admit that Obama and Hacker's plan have some significant improvement. But they still have no effective, or not enough effective cost controls. So the main features of the Massachusetts plan was to have an individual mandate with subsidies for people below 300% of the poverty line, and a very weak employer mandate. They would satisfy the requirement if they insured one quarter of their workforce. And if they didn't do that, they had a very hefty fine of $295 a year. Okay, how much health care can you buy for that? And then the third feature was a new state agency called the Commonwealth Health Insurance Connector. And the purpose of that agency was primarily to bargain with insurance companies and be sort of the middleman connecting insurance companies with purchasers of insurance to make sure that affordable, quote-unquote, plans would be available to everybody and that these plans would adhere to minimum standard of coverage. So, what happened 2 years later? Well, the number of uninsured in Massachusetts at the beginning of this year, and I don't want to speculate on now because it may have changed a lot, but the beginning of this year, it had decreased from 7.7% to 5.8%. Not exactly a fantastic decrease. However, the number of underinsured had increased, and the reason for that is that those people who had the most affordable premiums, so they paid the lowest premiums, had the highest copay. So it was a kind of a reverse situation. You pay your premium, and then you have to pay $2,000 before you get any benefits. And usually, if you buy a plan with the lowest premium, you can't afford $2,000. Also, by the beginning of this year, 60,000 Massachusetts residents, and remember, 60,000 in Massachusetts is a lot bigger number than 60,000 in California because their population is much smaller. 60,000 citizens were officially exempted from having to buy insurance because there were no available policies available for them that they could afford. In other words, there is a standard that this new agency has. If you have to spend more than 10% of your income for health care, for your health care premiums, then you can be exempted. So what happened to those 60,000 people? Well, they're uninsured. The worst part of this whole picture is that there is no effective cost control. Insurance companies can charge whatever rates they want. There is, quote unquote, a competition, but if they all raise their premiums together, guess what? The cost goes up. And in fact, the Health Connector has already announced that there will be a 10% increase in premiums next year. So the costs are increasing, administrative costs are increasing, and this new agency, this Connector, charges a 4.5% surcharge on any policy that it sells for their administrative costs. However, insurance companies are thriving. Blue Cross, which is the biggest, I guess, is getting $1 million in profits a day. So, the conclusion is that the goals of the plan, which was to stop uninsured, have everybody have insurance, that didn't happen, and to make sure that everyone who had insurance has minimum benefits, and that didn't happen because the private employers said that, and apparently that's true, that there is a law, ERISA, which prevents, this is a federal law, which prevents states from regulating insurance that companies buy themselves. So people who get their health care through their employees do not have to get these minimum benefits. So does this plan come anywhere near reaching the Institute of Medicine criteria for what kind of health care Americans should have? It's not universal. It's not continuous. It's not comprehensive. It's not affordable for many families. And the state early this year was already $147 million above the amount that they were planning to spend for health care. So apparently it's not affordable to the state either. So what's the solution? The solution is H.R. 676. And yes, we can make sure that H.R. 676 gets passed in our country.